Great talk, good talk, sometimes so-so talk, although we've never reached that so-so talk. Along with Martin Kilcoyne, I'm Dan McLaughlin. This is Scoops with Danny Mac, and we're brought to you by Stratum Structural Systems, waterproofing, foundation repair. Hey, by the way, my buddy Matt Ford, his great partner Brett, I mean, these guys are the best. If you know them, you listen to this, give them a call, tell them that you heard this on the podcast, because Stratum Structural Systems earned the coveted Torch Award for Ethics from the Better Business Bureau. These guys do just an unbelievable job. I've had so many people come up to me and say, hey, I heard the podcast and I went to Stratum and they came and helped the waterproofing issue that I had. These are really good people. They're honest people. They do a great job. It's stratumrepair.com. And again, if you have any kind of waterproofing issue, foundation repair, egress windows, and if you have those issues, just go to their website, stratumrepair.com. But if you know Matt, you know Brad, just give them a call because and let them know that you heard this and that they got the Torch Award, which is really a huge award in their business, and tell them that you heard this on the podcast because it's really cool. It's something that they should be very proud of. I know they're very proud of it, and it's something that's very big in their industry. And make sure you let them know that you heard it here, but it's very, very big in their industry, and it's something they're very proud of, and they should be because they're the best at what they do. StratumRepair.com. Also brought to you by Mark Milton. If you have IRS issues, visit Milton, Mark Milton, STLTaxLawyer.com. Any kind of tax issues, Mark Milton, think of him. He is from St. Louis U Law School, went to Illinois, STLTaxLawyer.com. Remember, the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely on advertisements. Away we go. Great talk, good talk, so-so talk. And Martin has come in with the notepad, a ton of notes. We never get to any of them. My game plan today is to let you go. That was it. I told you I have a game plan.
Oh,
I'm fired
wow.
up, and that I'm letting you just go. You have the notes. I'm just letting you go.
I have to tell you, you scared me at first. You said, yep. I got a plan, and I thought you were going to do like a whole shtick.
Nope.
Like, here we go.
I'm laying out.
Favorite
nope.
moment of your career. Like, I thought you had all this stuff in mind.
No.
Oh, you're just getting out of the way.
Getting out of the
Are
way.
Are you leaving? Or like you getting up and leaving? Like
oh,
Mike
no.
Shannon when I start talking?
I want you to, well, see, this is what you do to me.
No.
Because now I got a Shannon story about...
No, what, tell it.
Okay, so Shannon, back at Old Bush Stadium, the way that they would do the start of the game was on a phone. So it was a room attached to the clubhouse. So they bring the star of the game in there, and you had a phone and then a microphone. So you'd listen to the engineer in the phone. He'd say, okay, go ahead, Mike. And then Mike had the microphone. He'd say, okay, Martin... You know, here we are with Martin, and he had that base hit in the fifth, and you
talk
know,
about it.
Yeah, what did you see? Well, apparently with Rick Horton, like one of the first times with Ricky, he had Ricky on Star of the Game, and he just said, "What happened there, Lefty?" And he just put the microphone in front of him, and then had his head outside, like, "Hey, what is you? Hey, what's going on?"
Talking to other people,
talking down the hall, and so Ricky just had to keep talking because Mike wasn't paying attention.
That now I feel better. So I thought it was just me.
No,
a local
everybody.
Hack apparently did it. To when he said, "Hey, Lefty," is it because he wasn't sure if it was Ken Daly or Rucker or Von Olin or one of those guys?
For sure,
it's the left-hander that joins us.
And Mr. Lefty, yeah, whatever your name is.
You know what I love the most about Mike Shannon is
see now here you're not even paying attention to the notes
personality, and I've listened to a lot of radio. And I just love the guys who, and doesn't matter technically sound any of that. I just love the personality. And even when he would do the TV hits for Midwest,
personality.
One year he had Todd Helton, and he said something like, "Mr. Helton is with us, and you're coming off a year where well things didn't go real well, and you hit a little lower than you normally hit. You know, it was a tough season, huh?" Something like that.
And they all know who Mike is
for
so
sure.
They
play
just,
along.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you or I, they'd get up, and walk out,
right?
And Helton said, so "I wish I had the tape." But Helton said, "Well, I had that debilitating blood disorder, and I was in the hospital for something like I was in the hospital for 2 months." And he goes, "If that's what you're referring to." And Shannon goes, "Yep, that's it." And I was like, "Nobody else can get away with that."
Oh, my God.
You kind of awesome. Had a rough season last year. Well, I was in the hospital for 2 months with the blood disorder. Rare, you know, it took months to diagnose.
I almost died.
Yep, that's it. I almost died. Yeah, well, you didn't hit real well. Oh, I could tell Shannon stories all day. I love it.
So funny.
Love it. But personality, and that's what we're looking for. Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you about this because you've done a lot of radio, probably a lot of, you've done a lot of radio basketball. I don't know.
Tons, yeah.
And I guess football,
that's
too.
That's my background, yeah.
Right to left on your dial. I laugh every time I hear
it. I do it.
But I actually, it works.
Yep.
Because in my stupid brain, I said football, basketball, like right to left on your dial. And I'm like,
or in hockey, left to right.
And
right
I got, you know what? I think it
basketball
works.
Basketball totally works. Yeah. I do it all the time.
Why, though? Like, in our brain, like, I don't know what side of the arena you're sitting on, yet it helps me.
So I did.
Why does that work?
Well, Rammer had a, I think it was maybe the father daughter dance a couple years ago. His daughter was graduating high school, so they asked me to fill in for a Billiken game at Rhode Island.
At his daughter's dance?
No, no, I did not fill in for him as the father.
Father, he's like, I'm such a terrible dad. Dan, can you? Oh, he filled in on the broadcast.
Correct.
Okay.
So, but that's how I did it. I said the Bill. You know, I did the whole thing. The Billikens are wearing.
Yeah,
their
they're white
blue,
with the blue. The well, nobody does that like John Rooney. He's like a fashionista.
Yeah.
And he is. And the leg stockings are a little burnt orange.
He's old school.
Yeah,
I like it.
No, and it's radio. I love it. He's very descriptive. He describes the uniform like I couldn't even think of. He'll be like, and their little belt clip is a golden shade. And I'm like, what?
Wow. Was, and I did that on the basketball game. I said, your Billikens off this tip are going right to left on your radio dial.
It works.
And
Mike Kelly does a lot. Going right to left. Chris Giovino, wait a minute. Right to left on your dial. And
yep.
I'm like, right to left. Yeah, okay.
So it gives you an idea.
But I've never been in some of these buildings where they say it. And I'm like, it's still... I've got myself now seated at about midcourt.
Well, and I said in that
what an ass I put myself midcourt. I should have been in the last row behind the bucket.
Well, I said, you know, the Billikens, I said, you may hear Travis Ford and faint. You may hear Travis Ford faintly screaming. He's 5 feet to our right. The Billiken bench is 10 feet to our right. We're located, you know, 10 feet away from the nearest assistant. You know what I mean? So
right.
I try to give you
as much of a picture as you can.
I always try to say between the circles.
I'm wearing khakis.
My favorite radio basketball announcer is Mike Kelly. I love his basketball. Between the circles, right wing.
Elbow.
Yes, on the elbow. You know, I just think he's really good, descriptive. The one thing Jack Buck would always say, and I introduced Mike Kelly when he received an award at the Jack Buck Awards.
You made fun of him.
I did. I had a lot of fun making fun of him. But one
thank you, Daniel.
Daniel, thank you. It's now 15 after 7, 7:15. But I actually did do that.
On the Missouri Tigers Radio Network from Learfield, Central Bank, IMG.
I think I did.
I feel sorry for them because they've got to read like 14 things before you can get to the break and sell some corn.
I think I did say, and the Jack Buck Awards presented by IMG. No, but I think... but one of the things I said, Jack always said, is describe what you see because you are the eyes and ears for those that can't be there. He always would tell us young guys, myself, Mike Kelly, anybody that was in there that wanted to get in play-by-play, you're there for those that are the sick, those that are incarcerated, those that, you know, I mean, he would talk about anybody that couldn't get to a game. Those are in bed, in a hospital, you know, you have to describe what you see. Those that are blind, and I always felt that Mike Kelly really does give you a descriptive picture on the radio. I mean, I listen to a game, I feel like I'm watching it. I think he's really good.
I was working in my yard on Friday, and I was listening to KTRS because they had the Mizzou game with Arkansas, and I listened to probably
he's the best at that.
Listened like an hour and a half. And it is funny though, like his mic is in charge of the booth, and
absolutely,
I get a kick out of it because like down to Chris, it's almost like the McLaughlin Hour, remember, not you,
yep.
But the and SNL did the bit, and I didn't really get it because I didn't really watch that. It was a political show, I guess,
right.
And McLaughlin would call on people, Dan, your thoughts, and then he would cut them off immediately.
Yep. Go right to
and
the
And it's kind
person.
Of funny because in football and basketball, you got to be ready for the next play, and Gervita's like, I'll tell you what, Chris, 2nd and 10 for Mizzou, and it cracks me up, but you got to be in control.
Mike, the wind is blowing a little bit by 15
It's time now for a Tiger defensive stand.
Now it's 2nd and 8. That's how Mike does it.
Oh, okay, here's my first topic for Dan. I'm sorry, we got off track.
Yeah.
It's your fault.
You got a lot on that sheet.
Well, I was thinking about this. Last night, I was home from work, and the kids, we all watch Christmas Vacation. And tons of family do it.
God, I love that.
And I've seen it, what, 500 times? Yep. I still laugh.
I do, too, every time.
There's a couple times you can get up and take a leak. Like, I've seen this too many times. But
not the Cousin Eddie scenes, though.
No. Oh, my God.
Cousin Eddie scenes are best.
The best. And I was thinking about, you know, they're kicking the reindeer and all this. I'm like, wait a minute. Dan said at Halloween he has the smoke machine for Halloween. I'm like, are you Clark Griswold at Christmas? Okay.
I did try. I will say.
Well, you're more into witchcraft, apparently.
Our first house that we had kind of a big atrium, you know, like a big, you could put
foyer,
a
foyer.
Yeah, you could put a big tree in. We tried.
Yeah.
And we tried to like.
And you cut the rope and it shot through the windows.
We did have a rope. I tried to get it up, fell down. Tried to get it up again, the thing fell down. Then I tried to tie it to a post. It fell down. And I mean, I was like Clark Griswold, like, doing the whole thing. And then I gave up. And I gave up.
You're like, you know what we need, kids, for Christmas? How about that smoke machine we used at Halloween? Let's bring that sucker back. Great tradition, though, to sit around with the kids and watch it.
Yeah, so that I did that.
Also, Dan, over the weekend, you know who I was thinking about was the kid reporter. We talked about this last week. Who broke the news.
I've been thinking about that kid, too.
And I want to go back and find his account because he reported that Lane Kiffin was leaving and taking the Auburn job. And
I think I read it.
And immediately.
He did an update.
The kid?
Unless it's a false account,
okay.
Which I'm a little confused on what's false and not now.
You got to get the blue check mark, Dan.
I don't think that's official yet for
that
the
costs
$8.
Money. I never wanted one. Like, Fox 2 told me I had to have one, and I said, how do I get one? Like, I didn't even know how that worked.
I don't either. The Cardinals did it for me.
Dan, you're going to need a check. Willie, can you get Dan a check mark?
Candidly.
So you think the kid had to have said something by now.
So he came out with like a statement. It was one of those things where you put it on your phone on your notes and then post it,
okay. Kind
of a longer thing. But paraphrasing here, he said, we checked all our sources. All our sources confirmed what I reported. I stick by my reporting. It just these things happen and it fell through.
Right. And I think that's very possible. I mean, it's only Lane Kiffin. Well, not only Lane Kiffin, but he could tell the truth and say, listen, they contacted me. My agent listened. They put a pretty sweet deal on the table. I mean, he probably doesn't want to tell all his business.
By the way, he got $72 million after the
report. To stay at Ole Miss.
Exactly. So it
total
worked.
Conspiracy. What if he's friends with the kid and said, you report I'm going to Auburn. My agent's in talks right now. Holy, we just came up with that.
Could happen.
But
those
I was,
things happen.
Because that's a small market the kid's in. And now he's out there on a limb, and you got a coach that's making $80 million that could just crush you moving forward. I've wondered about their working relationship. There were two times where it was similar to me, and I was younger. This is like 20 years ago, and I knew, it's a long story, but Lorenzo Romar was leaving, and he was taking the Washington job.
Just thinking about him over the weekend, because Washington was playing, and I was wondering, is he at Pepperdine now?
I think he's
okay.
Back, so he went Pepperdine to SLU and then SLU to Washington.
And then I thought he went and...
I think he's back at Pepperdine.
Okay. Anyway.
The Gregory Hines lookalike.
But, yep.
And if I'm remembering this...
Good call.
Mandy Murphy was neighbors with Romar. So she tells me, hey, they're leaving, they're moving, you know, and she, for 100% knew it, and I guess now it doesn't matter, for
right.
a fact, she talked to the wife and she said, well, we're leaving Monday, he flew out. Yeah, like, every detail you would know. So... I reported it, and I don't know what the journalistic, I should know, like, you know, first hand, second hand, but it was extremely reliable.
So you did not source it?
No,
you just went with it?
Yeah, and again, I don't think Mandy would care at this point, but said, listen, I just talked to the wife in the driveway.
It's
the
done.
Moving truck was there this morning.
Right.
Romar's already in Seattle. Like, it was extremely specific, and so we reported it, and I don't remember how it played out, but I know... The paper doesn't like it if TV ever, the paper breaks 90% of the sports stories, I get it, or now the internet does and reporters online. But I remember then when they called the press conference to announce it, and I don't know if that would have been Cheryl Levick or the person before, I don't remember. And I remember a couple of newspaper types saying, good guess. Or something. And I remember saying, it wasn't a guess. It was based on fact.
Like, right.
And we don't break a lot of stories on TV, but we knew for a fact this was happening. And for a couple days, it like hung out there before it was official.
and then it became official.
Yeah, but everybody was like, "Yeah, I don't know about there." It may have even said in the paper, some reports are saying,
right.
And I'm like, I don't think this could be made up. Now, let's say all of what the wife said was true. Then they get there, and then Romar gets mad at the AD or a booster and says, "You know
which
what?
Happens.
Change my mind. I'm coming back." Mike Martz on the podcast, the Kilcoin Conversation, right here on Scoops with Danny Mac.
Which is really good.
Told the story about he had taken a job. So Dick Vermeil's trying to hire him in St. Louis. He was going to possibly leave Washington to go to Chicago because he was buddies with Dave McGinnis. And McGinnis took the Bears job. Remember that? They had a press conference planned. And then McGinnis didn't show up.
Right.
And he got mad at the time, we were told, because they leaked it or announced it ahead of time. Mart said it had to do with assistants' salaries. Because he goes, I was going to Chicago, and then Dave's deal fell through. So it's another example. These things can fall apart.
100%.
Along the way.
The Matt Painter thing to Mizzou.
Yeah, and Bernie had that, and I'm sure he didn't make it up. It
he
was
didn't.
Just, there was something to it,
yep.
For sure. All these things. So this Lane Kiffin thing, I'm sure there was something to it. It's just, when do you jump and say it's for sure? You may have to couch it a little bit and say, it appears this could go, if it all works out,
right.
Or it's headed this direction. You
don't want to speak in total absolutes.
Correct, because these things do fall apart. Another one was when Lankford was getting traded, would have been 01, and somebody I knew 100% knew exactly.
Is this the Woody Williams
deal? Yes, and yeah. So I reported, because my source said, it's either Sterling Hitchcock or Woody Williams. And I think they got Hitchcock the next year.
They did.
I forget.
Yep.
And I said, he's going to San Diego, because there was some tension, I think, with Tony and Ray, and it was clear he was wanting out.
Wound up coming back in 04.
Yeah, and I said, he's getting traded to San Diego, either for Woody Williams or Sterling Hitchcock. They're getting some pitching in return. And that was another one, and I think Mike Bush on Channel 5 said, despite what you're hearing, you know, or something, and I was like, I know it's true. The person that told me, 1,000% knew. And Ray was already in San Diego. So I think I went down and said to Walt Giacchetti, has Lankford been traded? No. He's away from the team for a couple days. It was like, because I had heard he was in San Diego.
Yeah.
And again, then we had to kind of wait it out. So I know what it's like with this kid, because you got to sweat it out a little bit.
Which a lot of times in baseball, trades will happen. And depending on how many years a player has, well, if you have your 10-5 and also out of respect for a player for how long they've been there, they usually get the 24 or 48 hours, too, to kind of
right.
Let the dust make settle.
Make up their mind,
yeah.
For sure. And it might have been that we were in that period.
You probably were.
And Walt probably said to Ray, take a couple days,
yep.
And we're going to do this. You good with that?
Yep.
And Ray was in San Diego, and I knew that for a fact. And yet, I think everybody was saying, oh, I don't know where this report's coming. Because Lankford was a longtime Cardinal at that point.
Well,
so to say he was...
He might
10
have been,
plus years.
He might have been 10-5 because he came up in
90. So
90,
probably more
yeah.
than 10. So I think at the time,
oh,
people
yeah.
were like, wow, Lankford
pretty
getting
beloved Cardinal
yeah,
too.
Lankford getting traded was a big story. And again, I'm like 32, 33. I'm like hanging out there with it. I'm like, I know it's true. My latest report says he's still going to San Diego.
Real serious question here. How often do you get, especially, I think it's changed. Because I get some of this in my, like, people will direct message me, because my direct messages are open on my, I don't know if you have to follow me. I don't know how this works. I'm not real.
I like when people say, my DMs are open. Okay, because everybody wants to talk to you?
Yeah, I don't know how all that works. But, you know, I'm pretty open on social media. If you want to get a hold of me, you can. But prior to social media, especially, and how many people are on it, but I am curious for you, being a sports director, but how often do you get somebody saying, hey, Martin, I was at a bar, or hey, Martin, I saw this guy at an airport, or hey, Martin, I know I have a friend of a friend that knows this is going down with a trade or something. You know what I mean? This sports related, that would be a breaking story like that. Do you get that a lot?
Not really, not a lot. But as you're saying that, I'm remembering, was it Dexter Fowler and somebody that likes the
in
morning
Vegas.
After
yep.
saw him at the Vegas airport
yep.
getting on the plane to St. Louis?
Something. Yes.
So some fan kind of scooped Mozeliak with
yep.
the news.
Yeah.
God. No, I don't get a lot of that. I did get a complaint the other day. We don't cover the Chiefs enough. And I thought, what? And they said, and it was a very nice email. And the woman kept saying, respectfully.
Sure.
She said, I don't understand. It's the best team in the state. And I know the Rams are gone. But last Sunday, you showed Arizona and the Rams and made fun of the fact they were two teams that used to, and you didn't show the Chiefs. And I wrote back, I said, respectfully, the Chiefs were playing on NBC that night. We can't show you those highlights. You know,
because you're still playing.
Right. It's an NBC deal. And by the time we're off there at 10:20 on a Sunday, they're just wrapping up.
And you're gearing up for Scoops with Danny Mac at
10:30. Of course. Man, why are you watching anything but the pregame show? Fox 2 News at 10 on Sundays is merely a pregame show vehicle for Dan's show follows. So, and I just wrote, and she wrote back, said, okay, thanks for clarifying.
Sure.
Because I said we show them every single week.
Now, here's
week.
A question. I did have this. I am curious about this. I was watching, I guess it was the other day, and I was curious about this. So if a Cardinal game is going on and it's in your newscast, because you guys are on at 9, so many times we're playing at,
right.
You know, at 9 o'clock where the Blues are, you're able to show highlights, correct?
We show highlights with a courtesy, Bally Sports Midwest, and I don't know.
Even if the game is going on.
Yeah, and I don't know where it's written, but it was always that if it was a network, like Channel 4, CBS, Channel 5. And
so if it's a network thing,
apparently
you can't
do a network thing, but I don't know if that's binding, you know, and over the years.
What if it's a TBS or a ESPN kind of thing?
Man, I think that's, again, not local network maybe.
See, and I don't know if from your perspective, if you really want to show
maybe we
that.
Shouldn't even talk about this.
Because if you don't want to show it,
right.
Because then you're, you know, somebody may be watching your newscast and going, oh, I forgot the game's on. And then you want to, do you really want to direct people that way?
I think that's happened before. Let's say the All-Star game were in St. Louis and it was on Fox. By the way, I think I'm a little overdressed. I'm sweating in the Scoops headquarters.
Dan's I think got me, I'm putting a lot of pressure
Dan's
on you.
Dan's got me on the witness stand. By the way, this is right to left on your dial as we sit here.
Yep.
What was the question? I forgot.
Just about showing highlights.
I think in the past when, like, during the playoffs, if a game's on Fox, let's say, I'm just making it up, but let's say Channel 4 one night showed some, you know, NLCS video.
Right.
I think they've gotten slapped around because there is somebody in town usually when the games are on the networks in town. Well, on the Cardinals network postgame, Fox 2.
Yes.
Dan, let's see here. Oh, I was going to ask you, have you ever been to Michigan or Ohio State for football?
Funny you mentioned that. I have a buddy of mine that is the biggest Ohio State fan.
Charlie Marlowe.
Well, Charlie is, but I have another one that one of my best friends in the world, and he's living in Vegas, or he lives in Arizona now, had to for family reasons, for medical reasons. Actually, his wife needed to move to a warm weather state for medical reasons, and so he had to move he grew up in Columbus in the area, so grew up a huge Ohio State fan. He's been trying to get me to go to this game forever, and he has 3 young kids. I have 4 young kids. Now they're getting older, and I texted him this weekend. I said, I think now's the time. I think
you got to go.
This is a bucket list thing. I want to do it because I sent him a GIF, is what you call it, I think.
Yeah, is it a GIF? A GIF?
GIF, whatever.
Whatever,
of Jim Harbaugh. And it took him about 3 hours to respond. Normally, he's right on it. He was very pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not happy. His dog is named Buckeye, to give you an idea of how much he loves Ohio State. and so I have not, to answer your question, I've not been, but it looks
have
like.
You've never been to either stadium? For any reason.
I've driven by because I've done basketball.
Well, I don't think that's what I asked.
But I've not been.
I've been to Ohio State, the Shoe, as a fan. A friend of mine 1 year lived in Columbus.
Did you go to Ohio State, Michigan? Or just?
No, it was Ohio State, Penn State, when Maurice Claret was the big thing. And I remember it was a Rams bye week.
That'd be cool
and
to see.
And I went down to the sideline because the big O Pace, was on the sideline watching the game.
Awesome.
And he's with Jeff Wilkins, the Rams kicker. And I said, why are you here? And he said, Tressel was my coach at Youngstown State. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, that makes sense.
So that was, and going to the Horseshoe. Now, that one I went to as a fan. It's a big party. Eddie George had a sports bar right across the street. Huge. Less tailgating than I remember. It felt like the stadium was right around all these bars and stuff. Michigan, it's when I worked in Rhinelander, humble brag, and we were covering Wisconsin, Michigan.
So you've been to both.
And one was for work, Michigan, and then Ohio State was for fun. Michigan, Wisconsin actually went to Ann Arbor and won, which was tons of fun. And it is a different crowd. And Dan Dierdorf will tell you that Michigan crowd is a little fancier. They've got like their linen tablecloths and all of that. But it's just massive walking in there.
That
the first time you walk into Ann Arbor, the big house, it's great.
I watched the game. That was an ass
fun.
Kicking.
Yeah, and I didn't see that coming at all.
I didn't either. That was an ass kicking.
I mean, you and I broke down the front 7 for Ohio State last week on our own.
Yeah.
We didn't even record it. We just got together.
We just looked at it.
Yep.
I mean, the two deeps, obviously.
Yep.
We knew the safety of Ohio State was going to have some issues.
I remember our get-together. You were a little concerned about the
play action.
Over-the-top coverage. Yes. I didn't know who to root for. Like, Harbaugh's kind of...
I love Harbaugh.
I kind of like him.
I love him. He's a villain.
He's a weirdo, but I kind of like
him.
He's a
total villain.
Like, the Ohio State coach is not hateable. Like, Urban was hateable.
Totally.
Ryan Day's
They want him back already.
Oh, they're so pissed. Like, Charlie Marlin's like, just bring him back. Let's just start winning these big games again. Ryan Day's like 45-4, and they're mad.
He's lost two games in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Both to Michigan.
Both to Michigan. Harbaugh, if you go back, I think he was at University of San Diego before the Stanford job. He just kept winning and winning. And then the Niners, like, we're taking the guy from Stanford. I'm like, Jim Harbaugh's going to be an NFL coach? They're in the Super Bowl, like, almost immediately.
Well, and you go back to when, like 3 years ago, Harbaugh is getting ready to get fired maybe at Michigan.
Yep.
Gives back part of his salary.
Yep.
And now he's on the cusp of being in the, you know, he's going to make the playoff because he'll probably win the Big Ten championship this weekend. And so now he goes undefeated. He'll be number two in the country. So they're going to finish, no matter what happens.
They're a top four team.
Yeah, he's going to finish in the top five. I mean, he's done a hell of a job.
No, it's good for college football when that game is good. Because for a while, Ohio State, that I kind of rooted for Michigan just because Ohio State had dominated for so long.
Doesn't it show you, though, when you have a guy that's got a real resume, and you just laid it out, and he has a real resume. I mean, that's a real resume.
In addition to 15 years in the league.
Exactly. But, I mean, you're talking about winning at Stanford. I mean, really winning. I mean, he was winning.
Right,
he was
putting Stanford at a high level. Yes, quickly.
Wins in the NFL, won at the highest level as a player, and was winning to an extent at Michigan. Now, was he beating Ohio State? No, not until recently. But was he winning and getting to pretty good bowls? Yes. If you stick with these guys long enough, they're probably going to win. Now, they may not win on the time frame that you want in 4 years. Now, maybe my statement is not right because the transfer portal should change that because you can go out and get kids and turn it around really quickly. But generally speaking, if you give them like a six-year period, which now is probably 6 years you need to go, but if you give guys 6 years, and I'm talking about guys with a resume. I'm not talking about a new coach. If you give guys 6 years, they're going to win. They know how to win. They know how to build a program and win. It's just they know how to do it. It's not easy, but they know how to do it. You're going to have some bumps, but they're going to win.
When they're talking about running off Harbaugh, the question was, are you going to find a better?
Who's going to be better?
Well, he's also a Michigan guy.
That's what
I mean. Not to quote Bo Schembechler, but in addition to having a pretty good resume of having played at a high level, coached at a high level, are you a little bummed that he was going 8-4 or whatever it was? He's also a Michigan grad.
I'm so on the fence right now with Missouri, and I think this next like 2 weeks is really fascinating because if they start having a mass exodus of players, which they could, where are you at the program paying a guy $6 million to go beat, you know, Little Sisters of the Poor in New Mexico State and get six wins and go, okay. I mean, they beat a pretty good Arkansas. I like Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas has got a great quarterback and a really good running back, and they had some really good wins early on. You beat Carolina, right?
Who finished the year really strong.
Right.
South Carolina's probably going, how did we lose to Missouri? Is probably what they're saying.
With their two, the way they finished?
Yeah.
Holy cow. You know,
it's funny because on Friday, I just don't know where I'm at. You know, 6-6 going to a bowl doesn't excite me.
But again, I'm
it's almost, better than 5-7.
I'm interrupting again. I'm countering what I'm just saying about sticking with a guy. So if I say get rid of this guy.
But you said established resume.
Exactly.
Harbaugh was a more established head coach at that point than Eli Drinkwitz is. He's still kind of a new commodity as a head coach.
But he is recruiting well.
Now they got to stay. That's the next hurdle.
But they got to stay. So if you have mass exodus, where am I at?
I think for him, if you win the bowl game, like at this point, I don't know where they're going to go, who they're going to play. If you lose the bowl game again, 6-7, what was the point of the bowl game? Yes, you got a couple extra weeks of practice. This Dominic Lovett apparently is going to leave in the portal.
You got to keep him.
You got to find a way to keep him. Beating Arkansas, that's great. That's a good win. You didn't have a lot of great wins this year, so that's a good win.
You were close.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You
so now
should have won the Auburn game. Now, if you did, then you're 7-5. Yeah. Okay.
Are you over the hump? Like now, you're so close, and you say, because a lot of these teams, as you well know, you when you're that close and you give a guy another year or two, that's when you say, now I'm starting to get over the hump. I start winning those games because I stuck with this guy. If I scrap him, I'm back to square one. You know what I mean?
There'd be less critique, I think, of the Drinkwitz three-year resume if they hadn't extended and given the big payers. I think people are like, well, all right, 3 years. Let's see what he does in year four. I think people would be having kind of a,
I agree.
They would pretty much just be saying, yeah, okay, well, we made a bowl, six and yeah, it's okay. He was very excited. I think there was a victory cigar. I'm like, eh, only 6-6, but I get it. It's tough to win. You beat Arkansas. That's a rival. Good for you. Go to the bowl game now and win. I don't think people would even be talking a lot about it. They'd be like, well, it's his third year. They're kind of 500-ish. But because of the extension and the big pay raise, more people are like, well, what are we paying for? What do we really have here? I think that created that conversation.
I also think we have not talked enough about when he got into the program and where was the program and where were we all in our lives with COVID and how tough that was as a first-year coach
for
in
sure.
the SEC walking
it was not
in.
Easy, for sure.
So that you got to consider that, too. That I mean, trying to go out and recruit, getting kids on campus, now you're dealing with COVID. I mean, that's really hard. I mean, that now everybody had to deal with it, don't get me wrong, but that was hard on a first-year guy in the SEC. I mean, let's give him a little break on that, too.
Yeah, well, he has not flopped or floundered for a guy who we'd never heard of until they hired him.
Right.
I think there was always a potential for a flop, and it's like, well, he hasn't been a flop. Now, you wanted a little more. You wanted to see a little more. There's sort of been this 500-ish program, which I kind of think is where they were at with Barry Odom. It felt like they were going to kind of be a – and they wanted to do more. That's what's out there for him now at some point, just take that next step.
What would you do if they said – I was thinking about this the other day, though. If you're Mizzou and you said Eli's done, if you said, let's bring in Bobby Petrino, let's go down to Missouri State, go get him because he can win. You know he's going to win. Go get Deion Sanders. Go get – Lane Kiffin. I mean, go get these splashy.
But none of those last two aren't coming to Mizzou.
Why
Deion
not?
Sanders isn't.
I don't. He's going to go to Colorado, maybe.
Yeah, I think he holds out for as big a job as he can get.
I agree, but what my point is, those names are the splashy names.
Right.
If you're going to get rid of a guy like,
well, that, who do you have in mind? The last time they had the search committee.
I mean, the names on there were so boring,
right.
It wasn't going to move the needle at all.
And I think what we find out is the board of curators sort of run the show.
Absolutely.
They balled up Jip Sterk's list and bounced it off his head. Like said,
terrible.
Get out of here, dude. And that's when you knew Sterk was done. Because
he was done.
If you are the AD and you can't hire a football coach, then why are you there? And that's the final straw for him having any power.
Would you go get Bobby Petrino?
It's interesting. I would have to, like, vet him, I guess, if that's possible, and kind of meet with him and say, where are you at? Because you knew when he got to Missouri State, he'll start winning.
It's unbelievable what he's done there.
Yeah, they're really good. Somebody's going to hire him. Is it right now? Is it this year? Probably. I don't know who, but somebody will hire him. There's a little bit. If you get through that initial baggage, I think then they just kind of plow ahead and start winning some games.
I just don't think like people have given him enough credit for what he's done. Where that program was at, the facilities that were at Missouri State, he came in a COVID year and immediately turned the thing around. We're talking about Missouri State football, and he immediately made them a power. Yeah. Like, that's unbelievable what he did.
Right.
Like, holy cow.
It'd be great if he would stay and just make it a thing. Like, if somebody down there, a booster, had a ton of money and just kept him happy. I just think those guys, the way they're wired, they want to win at a big level. He'll want to go to a big job,
it's,
I think.
It's kind of like
that. If he
gets
a chance.
It's kind of like that fire, Martin, and you got that, like, you're sitting in the middle of a, hear me out here, you're sitting in the middle of the forest.
I'm going to write this down.
And you got, like,
fire.
A little flicker.
Flicker.
Okay, a little flicker. And that's what's always sitting there with those coaches, to make it into, like, a big burning fire. You know what I mean? It's always there. They still have that burning desire to get...
Did you watch Backdraft last night or something?
I did not. I love that movie, though.
It's a great movie. We should sit around and watch it when we're not breaking down the front seven for Georgia.
Did you see that... are you a Yellowstone fan?
I am, and I actually have a little beef because the new stuff came out.
My 1923.
My wife started watching the newest episodes.
Oh, I haven't seen those yet.
It's like episode five or season five.
I'm trying to hold off. Don't tell me anything yet.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Because I'll binge watch the final...
I was up to date until a week or two ago, and now my wife started. I'm like, whoa, 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 hey, I was at work. I'm like, can I? Wait, what?
Hey, baby, don't jump the gun on this one.
I'm like a little flame. Now, hear me out. I'm flickering.
You're in the forest, and you're a flicker. And
right to left. On your, why don't I start doing that when my wife and I are watching Netflix? I'd be like, Kevin Costner, right to left on your dial. Like, just annoy the crap out of my entire family.
I'd like to meet Kevin Costner.
I think he'd be fun.
I'm not
a lot of these guys are just SOBs, jerks. I think he'd be fun.
You know, I'm very big on to, I follow a lot of the social media, social.
Oh, I enjoy Dan's mocking of the People
it's not
magazine.
Mocking.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I
enjoy your enjoyment. Every time a Kardashian is seen kissing in public, it gets noted, and you're always saying adorable.
It's absolutely adorable because, you know, I think that those people really are in tune with the majority of human beings and life. But he is a guy that I actually would like to meet.
I could see him being a cardinal, a knowledgeable cardinal. Like he
just
would,
a normal dude.
Well, he'd sit in the booth and say, man, I love seeing Ozzy do the backflip. Yeah. Like he would know. You wouldn't have to coach him.
No. Like, I think he would, like, even if he wasn't up to date on the nuances of a particular team, I think he'd be up to date on the nuances of the sport. Like, hey, I really enjoy the non-shift, and this is why I like the non-shift. You know what I mean? You could talk to him about, hey, what do you think about the game today?
Well, I mean, in Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, two iconic baseball movies, I think he's kind of a baseball guy. I'm trying to think of
We've had opportunities to have like some of these celebrities, so-called quote-unquote celebrities in the booth, and they're like, hey, do you want to get this guy in there?
When you're in L.A.?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, no. They're like, really? You don't want to meet this?
Hey, so-and-so's got a new TikTok out, Dan.
Like, no, I really could. No, I don't want him in there. They're like, really? And I'm like, nope.
Does that happen mostly in L.A.? Has it ever happened in St. Louis? Hey, so-and-so's at the meeting this week. You want him on the show?
One of my favorite guys to meet was the voice of SpongeBob. He's a St. Louis guy. And you like SpongeBob?
Yeah, the kids have watched, yes.
And who's the, I haven't seen
Krabby Patty and.
Give me the, ooh.
Yeah, I would know it if I could see it on a list. I'm sorry. People are yelling
SpongeBob.
At their phone. Yes. But he was the guy on Coach, right? I think.
Yes. And so he came in.
He played like Dauber or something? Or
yeah, so he came in and he wanted to meet me. And I said, absolutely, because at that point in my life, I was watching SpongeBob for hours. Because my kid. And so he signed a bunch of things for me and my kid. And he couldn't have been any nicer. He was cool. Who's the guy? Met him at the end of the year with, he's in a ton of movies.
Nolan Arenado.
Nope. And he is in, he was part of the news team on,
David Koechner or whatever. I know who you're talking. He was on Anchorman.
Anchorman, yeah.
And he's a character actor, bald guy, but very funny.
He was the sports anchor.
Yeah, he was Chip or Biff or whatever.
He was great. He was cool.
I think it's David Koechner. He's from Missouri.
Yeah, he was great. And his family was great. Big Cardinal fans. He was fun to be around. Really normal guy. He's like, hey, Dan, how's it going? You know,
you can tell when they're weirdos right away.
Yeah, he was like, you know, my family, he's like, I don't watch a ton of games, but got a young family. Here's my brother and my, you know, whatever. And they're Cardinal fans. They love to meet you. And I, you know, I'd like to meet you too. I mean, he was great.
Right.
Do you mind if they take a picture with you? Absolutely not. They hung out for a while. He was great. He was funny.
He wanted to meet Edmonds, but Jim got a text at that moment and didn't get to take
he
didn't get to take the picture.
He was out. But he was in for the Funny Bone. I think he was
he
doing
did
some stand up.
Helium Funny Bone, one of those kind of things. Yeah.
He was great. And I got to ask him some questions about
Anchorman
and
Will Ferrell and
all that. Yeah, he was great and he was really cool. But those kind of encounters are fun.
You know, there's a great clip, and I just thought of this because of Thanksgiving, Rose Bowl. It was the Rose Bowl parade, and it wasn't the NBC coverage. There was like a YouTube coverage, and Will Ferrell and maybe Amy Poehler or Tina Fey, they were doing like their own commentary.
Yeah.
And Lindbergh High School band was in the actual parade, and the clip is Will Ferrell's like, oh, we got the Lindbergh High School parade, and this is 100% true. Well, that he did this, and he said, notable alumni included. And he goes, oh, Glenn Zimmerman, the weather guy.
No, he didn't.
Will Ferrell, 1,000%. We got to find the audio. And he goes, oh, Glenn, too bad to hear what happened to him.
I know he didn't.
100%.
Did you show it to Glenn?
I think we had him on the radio, Randy Naughton and I, and we played it. Because he goes, I've heard a lot about it. I think Will Ferrell killed him off.
That's funny.
He basically said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear he passed.
Like, you know who would be really, and I'm dead, I don't know if you agree with this, you know who would be great on the red carpet just mocking people would be the cat.
Yep, mocking people. I like that.
Cat would be hilarious, just making a total mockery of the whole thing. What are you wearing?
I'm going to find that clip. I'm going to make a note here. I'm like a flame flickering here. I'm going to send Dan the audio of Will Ferrell saying that Glenn Zimmerman's dead.
You know what I really look forward to on the weekends? I need to start carrying my phone all the time, but I look forward to great talk, actually.
Yeah, coming around. Oh, we had some scheduling issues today, and then there was some talk about moving it later in the week, and Dan said, I don't think the people will be happy. I think they're going to want this sooner.
I also have I'm emceeing an event tomorrow with Nick Ragone and the folks with Ascension. They're going to...
they're handing out the checks tomorrow.
You going to be there?
I'm glad you reminded me.
Why don't you tell me
what time that is? Is that at noon?
I think it's at noon out at Norwood.
Okay, I think I can make that. Yeah, well, of course I will.
I think it's going to be well over $1 million for...
Hand it out.
Yeah, well over a million. Like, closer to $1.5 million, I think.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Awesome. The work they've done.
I think he's talking about... I'm not trying to give away trade secrets here, but I think he's trying to, like, get a concert in conjunction with...
Take it to the next level kind of thing.
Yeah.
Make it a bigger event weekend.
Yeah. I don't know if you agree with this, but if you like, John Daly loves this. I mean, all these players are really behind this, and I think the tour wants to make this an even bigger event. So they're going to try to make this a signature stop on the Champions Tour, and maybe even make it to where it's like one of the massive events on the tour, to make it even like a, I don't know if you'd even say it's like a major. Of what, I don't know how the Champions Tour works, so
semi-major,
you know, whatever, but where you'd make it, so they did the APGA, out at Glen Echo,
yep,
and then you have the senior event, and then you'd have a concert around it, but I know, like, John Daly would get behind it. You'd have other guys, like Vince Gill is a huge golfer. You get Darius Rucker behind it. You could get a lot of these guys that would come in and say, okay, well, if you're, now I'm playing Nick Ragone, but if you're Ascension, say we'll write you, I don't know, a check for $75,000 or something, $80,000, $100,000 for each of your charities, and come in and play a charity event, and make that a part of this too. So you make it a week long event, you know, where you got different things going on, and it just becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. I think it's great for the town, and the corporate sponsors now have gotten behind it. And when Nick first started doing this, you know, he'll tell you it was like trying to roll a boulder up a hill. I mean, it was like, hey, what are you doing?
He's turned it into a thing quickly.
Quickly. Yes. Where the corporate sponsors have, and that's the key. I mean, you got to have businesses get behind it, and they all have said, oh my gosh, you know, what you're doing up there is incredible. Yeah, we're behind it. Let's do it. And then you have the local celebrities getting behind it, and then when you get Nancy Lopez and Jack Nicklaus and Lee Trevino and, you know, Tom Watson and all these people coming in town to do it, it's a big deal. I mean, it's really cool.
It's a great event, and it's now a staple on the St. Louis sports calendar. Sponsors, you know, that love this show include the Pasta House. Kids eat free on Sundays. Instead of cooking, tell Mrs. McLaughlin just order ahead. Get a whole package to go. Feed the whole family. Great deals at the Pasta House. I was at Marie Davila the other night. They lit the tree. Ozzie Smith, Jackie Smith, so festive. And people listen. Seriously, if you drive by Clayton and Weidman Road, you can get out, take pictures with the kids. Giant Christmas tree. I think it's the biggest outdoor Christmas tree in West County, Dan. Very festive. We love our friends at Marie Davila. Also the fine folks at Appliance Discounters, Triad Bank, B&G Tuck Pointing. I feel like a NASCAR driver, Dan. I'm just so grateful to all these wonderful people.
I'm not done yet. Are you done?
I'm done. I got to go. This is great talk.
I'm not quite done yet.
No, you are.
Because I have one more thing
get.
One more thing. I am so excited. Who was your favorite, like, athlete growing up? Who did you idolize?
Walter Payton was my first favorite sports figure.
How about here locally?
I was a Willie McGee guy.
Okay. Mine was Ozzie. And I cannot go on social media or turn on a TV or read an article without seeing Ozzie somewhere in town doing
everywhere.
Something. He is everywhere right now, and lending his image and likeness.
And flips the switch. There were like a few hundred people there. And our guy Fred, who owns Marie Davila, is up there at the mic. And he introduces, it's Jackie Smith, Ozzie Smith. Hungo was there. Mad Hungarian. Kenny Daly.
Ooh, I got to return a call to Hungo. Thanks.
And then he says, and Martin, I'm like, why am I on this panel? This is embarrassing. Yeah. And then he said, Martin, get up here and say a few words. I had 1 second to prepare. I was like, what? Hey, everybody. Hey, great to be here.
That's awesome.
Right
though.
To left on your Christmas tree. Great event. But to your point, Ozzy, and after it's over, everyone wants a picture. Everyone wants an autograph. And he just does it. Stays, does it. He's high-fiving, smiling. And I'm sure it's exhausting at times, but he is the best.
He is
Well, Dan,
the
you're the best. I'm sorry.
You too. Hey, great talk.
It was.